Welcome to the Risen Church Podcast, a collection of sermons from Risen Church in Santa Monica, California. Here at Risen, we believe the Bible, proclaim the gospel, and seek to better follow Christ. As a Jesus-centered church for the people of Los Angeles and ultimately the world, we aim to help people know Jesus, grow in faith, and go serve the world. If you're interested in more information, please visit us at risenchurch.com. And now for this week's message.
Well, my name's Austin. I'm on the team here at the church. And whether you've been here for 30 minutes or for 30 minutes, we're just so glad you've chosen to spend your Sunday morning with us. Risen is a Jesus-centered church for the people of Los Angeles and ultimately for the entire world. And our mission is simple. We want to know Jesus, to make him the center of everything, and that as we do, we will grow in faith and we will become the kinds of people that go out to serve the world around us. This morning, we're currently wrapping up a three-week mini-series called Head, Heart, and Hands. The past 2 weeks, Trevor tackled the head and the heart, and this week I'll wrap us up by talking about the hands. And so this morning we'll be looking at portions of James chapter 1 and James chapter 2. If you're unfamiliar with James, he was one of the leaders of the early church and wrote this letter around AD 40-50 to scattered Jewish Christians, urging them to live out their genuine belief in Christ through righteous and steadfast behavior in accordance with God's word. Specifically this morning, we'll be in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 27, and James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. And we're going to walk through these passages in five parts. First is we'll talk about belief and behavior in the word, belief and behavior in religion, belief and behavior in tandem, belief and behavior in example, belief and behavior in union. Again, that's belief and behavior in the word, in our religion, in tandem with one another, in examples from history and in union. I do want to start with this briefly. I ask you a question. Have you ever had a lot on your mind? You've had lots to do, and then you have that moment amongst all of your thoughts, oh, I need to go get something from the other room. And so you begin walking to the other room, continuing to think about all the things you have to do, and you show up in the room, and you have that haunting thought, why did I come to this room? What was I going to do? What was I looking for? Something similar is happening here in James, except it's not a room. It's a mirror, and there's a person looking at the mirror, and as soon as they walk away from the mirror, they forget what they look like. So this is point number one, belief and behavior in the word, chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. James begins this section by talking about the Christian's tendency to look at God's word, the Christian's tendency to study God's word, and after reading it, immediately forget what it told them to actually do. This section is a don't just head and heart the passage, actually put your hands to it kind of section. So this is verse 22. James says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, because if you do that, you're just simply deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, and when he goes away, at once he forgets what he was like. But watch this, verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being not just a hearer who forgets, but someone who remembers to do, it's that person that will be blessed in their doing. Notice what James is saying here. James is hinting that there are people in the congregation who hear God's word, but they don't actually do it. James is poking the congregation that there are people that are studying God's word, but not putting it into practice. And James emphasizes here at the end, it's actually the person who hears the word, studies the word, and does the word. It's that person that will be blessed. In other words, God's blessings come when behavior is added to our belief. One of the early church fathers, Origen, said this: it is not enough to hear the words of God. They must be sown in the soul. How? By doing them, lest they vanish like seed upon a rock. It is a tragic thing to plant a seed and not see it sprout into a plant or into a tree. In other words, if you want God's blessing in your life, according to James, if you want his blessing to sprout in your life, you must have God behavior in your life. This week, you may ask the question of yourself, where does my belief in God fail to show up in my behavior? What is in my head and in my heart, but is not showing up in my hands? What am I forgetting to do? You may read to love your wife, but do you forget to lay down your life for her? You may read to respect your husband, but do you forget to honor him? You may read to honor your parents, but do you forget to obey them when you're younger and serve them when you're older? You may read in the text to be generous, but do you forget to give? Tomorrow, as you kind of think back on this passage, you might pray throughout the day, Lord, would you help me to be a hearer and a doer of your word? That's point number one, belief and behavior in the word. This is point number two, belief and behavior in religion. James begins this section by talking about the Christian's tendency to read God's word and immediately forget what it tells them to do. And then he moves on to defining the kind of behavior they ought to be embodying. This is verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he's just deceiving his heart. If you're this kind of person, your religion is worthless. But religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Notice what is happening. James is, in fact, affirming that religion is valuable. But religion involves a particular kind of life outside of the context of church on Sunday morning. Religion invites us into a life of a bridled tongue, self-control, visitation to those who need it, and holiness. James is affirming that belief is important, but only to the degree that it's accompanied by the right behavior. I want to talk for just a moment about the hokey pokey. You may remember the hokey pokey. Put your right hand in, put it out, put it in, shake it about, turn around. And that's what it's all about. Except that's not what the hokey pokey is all about. The hokey pokey is actually about being with people. It's about dancing and having fun and celebrating a birthday when you're younger. If you're doing the hokey pokey by yourself in your room just to do it because that's what it's all about, you're really missing the point. James is making a similar point. Christian faith is not just about doing the motions on Sunday morning. It's not just about singing and confessing and greeting and preaching and eating for the sake of those things in and of themselves. Singing and confessing and greeting and preaching and eating, these are means and avenues towards reorienting our hearts towards God. Reorienting our hearts towards widows and orphans. Reorienting our hearts to hate sin and to love righteousness. Church, this is a challenge to us. It is possible to just go through the church motions and it not affect your life Monday through Saturday. It is possible to go through the motions and to believe rightly but behave wrongly. It's possible to do the church thing and still have a gossiping tongue at work, to not take care of the marginalized and at risk even in our own congregation, to not seek to live a holy life in your house, in your school, in your neighborhood. So on Tuesday, you might pray, Lord, help me to not just go through the church motions on Sunday, but help me to live holy Monday through Saturday. This is the kind of religion that God is looking for. This is belief and behavior in religion. And this is point number three, belief and behavior in tandem. This is going down to chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. James has, again, started this section in chapter 1 talking about the Christian's tendency to be forgetful to do the word. He then talks about the kind of religion that God is looking for. Now he'll talk about the behaviors that complement beliefs. This is verse 14. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have any works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, cheer up, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving that person the things that they actually need for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, that faith is dead.
We hope you're enjoying this week's message. We believe that following Jesus is best done connected to the local church. If you're in the Los Angeles area and looking for a church, or know someone who is, we'd love to invite you out to worship with us at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings. Join a community group that meets throughout the week, or serve with us in the church and in the city. You can find all the details at risenchurch.com. We would be thrilled to connect with you. Now, back to this week's message.
But someone will say, you have faith, I have works, we're kind of on the same team here. James says, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, you believe that God is one. Good for you. Well done. You have the right belief. Even the demons believe and shudder. He's being a little sarcastic in that moment. Notice what is happening. James asks the questions, can what you think and believe in your head and your heart alone help you to experience God's blessing? Can your hands without your head and your heart be vibrant? Can your head and your heart alone provide for the needs of the poor? Can your hands alone please God? And the emphatic answer is no. John Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, said it a bit more intensely. He said, faith without works is the faith of demons, for they also believe and tremble. You might think about, you know, when you're going to the airport to hop on a plane. You get to experience going on vacation or to see your folks. Whenever you show up at the airport, there's two things that you have to have. You have to have your ID and you have to have your ticket. If you bring your ID, but you do not bring your ticket, you are not getting on that plane. And if you bring your ticket, but you don't bring your ID, you also are not getting on that plane. If you want to get on the plane and experience the goodness of wherever you're going, hopefully Hawaii, you need both of them. In the same way, if you want to enjoy God's blessings, it requires belief and behavior. It requires your head and your heart and also your hands. Church, what is your tendency to bring before God? Do you tend to bring your faith alone while you have been living in willful disobedience throughout the week? Or do you bring your works, all the things that you have been doing while living in willful unbelief throughout the week? James would encourage us, we need both. So on Wednesday, you might pray, Lord, help me believe and behave in tandem with one another. That's point number three, belief and behavior in tandem. This is point number four, belief and behavior in example. After highlighting that our belief and behavior should align to his word, should reflect true religion, should be in tandem with one another, James now moves to fortify his argument with a few examples from history. He begins in chapter 2, verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is absolutely useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active alongside of his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? This is one of the really helpful things about role models in our lives. Role models act not only as somebody that we can go to for advice, but one of the reasons why they are a role model is because we can look at them and try and emulate their life. And sometimes they stand as a correction to us simply by the way that they live. We might be in a season we are eating and exercising poorly, and then we see one of our role models who's eating and exercising properly say, oh, they're standing as a correction to me. I need to be doing more of that. We may be in a season where we're investing and spending poorly, and then we see how our role model spends and invests their money, and it acts as a correction to us. I need to tighten up my wallet just a little bit and be more diligent about investing. We may be in a season when we're not giving our family the time and attention that we should, and then we see how our role model spends time and gives attention to his family, and it acts as a correction to us. I need to go home at 5 and have dinner with the family, not work too late too often. James is giving the church in this moment some examples that should act as a correction to the congregation. He gives them Abraham, and he gives them Rahab. And he makes the point of these two people, it's not only faith that God is looking for. And it's not only works that God is looking for. He uses these two to remind God's people that it is faith and works, belief and behavior that brings God's blessing. blessing. Lest we go too far, John Calvin helps write the course just a little bit. He says, James does not argue that Abraham was justified by works as though works confer righteousness, but that Abraham proved his faith to be true by offering his son. Proved his faith to be true through his works. Church, this can be a challenge to us. And so allow this to get into you. Faith doesn't work by itself. Neither do your works work by themselves. But you need them both. So you may pray later on in the week, Lord, show me that faith apart from works, my head and my heart, apart from my hands, according to verse 20, is useless. That's point number four, belief and behavior and example. And this is our fifth and final point, belief and behavior and union. This is verse 26. After James has highlighted to align our belief and behavior to his word, to religion that God accepts, to being in tandem with one another and showing how these are embodied in our heroes of the faith, he closes this section by simply reminding them that the two go together like body and spirit, like bone and marrow, like peanut butter and jelly. Verse 26. For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead, so also faith, apart from works, is dead. Notice what's happening here. James does not say, you know, your faith would be a bit more effective if you added some works to it. It also doesn't say, you know, your works will only get you so far. James says that they are both dead. Our faith and our works, independent of one another, are dead, lifeless, and good for nothing. It's like having a car. You can have it filled with gasoline, but if no one turns the key, the car will remain at a standstill. And you can keep pouring in gasoline till you filled up the entire car, but until someone puts in the work of turning the ignition, the car is useless. In other words, your faith requires works. Your head and your heart require your hands. Your beliefs need your behaviors. Works are the key that ignites the starter, turns on the engine, burns the gas, and gets that car moving. Behavior is the ignition to your beliefs that ushers in God's blessings. One of the early church fathers, again, Bede the Venerable, said it this way, where faith and works are divided, death actually enters in. But where they are joined together, life flourishes. God's blessings come sprouting through. So, church, here's a comfort to us. Your faith is valuable. Your faith is precious. We are the righteousness of God in Christ because of our faith. However, church, if you want to see God's blessing in your life, you have to be a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. Head, heart, and hands. The church, the truth is, when we talk about things being dead and things flourishing, the truth is that we are all dead in our sins. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. And you, all of you, were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, in which you once behaved, following the course of the world, being stained by the world, following the prince of power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. I love this talk of faith being combined with works, but may we not forget it is by grace that we have been saved. It is by grace that we have been raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us, which comes to us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's not of your own works. It's not of your own behavior. It is, in fact, the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that nobody can boast. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. But saving faith never comes alone. This is good news, church. Let's pray. Father, we pause for a moment, really wanting to be hearers and doers of your word. So, Father, would you align our beliefs and behaviors with your word? When people look at us in our religion, would they see a people that have bridled tongues, hospitable to the generations, living a life of godliness and holiness? That we would embody not just good works, but also belief and faith, following in the example of people like Abraham and Rahab, that we might be fully alive, experiencing your blessing. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. We hope you've been deeply encouraged by it. Each week, we're able to produce this podcast because of the faithful giving of our congregation and others who support us. If you'd like to help us continue to create similar content, you can give at risenchurch.com. And if you're in the Los Angeles area looking to connect with the church, we'd love to have you join us. Hope to meet you soon.